In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It's going to be important to remember that. It sounds spectacular, doesn't it? To have life in the name of Jesus. And it can be a little difficult, but we know in this Easter season, we are being reminded in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have that life. Through his body and blood, we have been renewed, we have been washed of our sin, and we have been freed, amen? This is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And we'll spend this whole Easter season, it wasn't just last week, by the way, it's going to carry on up until Pentecost, and then we're going to have an even bigger celebration then. And we're going to just continue into this season of growth. That's when everything turns green. That's why it's green. To remind us, that's our time to be growing. And that doesn't just mean more people. That means growing and understanding this new life that we have and having that life in the name of Jesus. So as I looked at these 13 verses out of the Gospel according to John, I found at least 12 sermons. I know I've given at least 6 of them. And as I was hearing it read again, I heard yet another one. But I'm going to try and stick to the one that God and I have been working out. He's had it worked out. I'm a little slow sometimes on catching on to what he wants. So out of these 13 verses, you can relax. I really want to focus on 3. Hard to believe, I know. Of course, I already blew that because I already read 2 of them to you. That wasn't even the ones that I was going to focus on. That's just the whole thing that keeps happening here, right? But I want to look at verses 21 through 23. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, he's returning, right? He's showing up. They're apparently a little nervous because they're in the upper room, they're locked in, fear of the Jews and such. I mean, good reason. I mean, the person they were following was crucified. So probably better to keep a low profile is their thought process. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now you just have to know, I love that concept. As the Father sent me, so I send you. You've all heard this song, "Here I Am, Lord." You know, and everybody sings it and they're all like this, right? "Here I am, Lord." You know the song. And everybody raises their hand. I did that once. And he believed me. I didn't know he'd believe me. So it took a little while for me to believe it. And, here I am, Lord. So the fact of the matter is, we should think about that. Here I am. And we raise our hand. That's in response to a call, right? Here I am. And what's the call? Well, we just need to look at what Jesus said before this, right? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So his disciples have just spent roughly 3 years walking with Jesus. They've seen him teach, preach, heal, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Amen? Amen. That's how the Father sent him. And he says to them, so I send you. Getting nervous yet? That's the mission. The concept of this reconciliation with God is what God has given us to do. We are his hands and feet. Amen. It's our call to do what he has done. And he says also, you would do all of these things and more. And we do this while? Well, next verse. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Oh. So all of you who may have just been thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be teaching, preaching, healing, casting out demons, and probably not raising the dead. Wrong. You're wrong. I just want to tell you. If you've thought that your whole life, you've been wrong the whole time. If you are a baptized Christian proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the Father sent him, so he sends you by the power of his Spirit indwelling you. It's just the deal. And we should actually be excited about it, don't you think? We should. I'm excited about it. This is me excited. This is about as excited as I ever get. The most animated you'll ever see me is when I'm standing right here. And my wife will verify that. And I'm exceptionally excited today because I got this fancy new Bible. It's large print. I can actually see it. I'm not looking for the light. It's pretty amazing. They finally made one that didn't require an assistant to carry it. He gives us the power. It's his power that we move by. If we move by our own power, we will not get very far. If we move by our own power in ministry, we will reach a place that we like to affectionately call burnout. If you are working in ministry and feeling burned out, I would say you are working off of your own reserves. And you need to stop and discover where your strength comes from. Because if you are not moving under the power of God, you will not move very far. And we will undoubtedly have moments when we lose our strength. And to that I would say, thanks be to God. When you can only get up and move because you know God is moving you, that is when we will see his glory. And he adds probably one of the most confusing and potentially misused verses, in my opinion, within the entire Gospel of John. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. You would be shocked to discover how much ink has been spilled by scholars on that verse. You would probably be even more shocked to discover how many times the church has claimed that verse and closed the doors on another person of God. Because they, us, the church, felt they needed to guard the faith from the extremely sinful. And they could say, Jesus said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And we took that verse and said, we will judge. There was a survey done some years back. Too old to footnote in a paper if you're doing academic research, but I suspect it hasn't improved. The statistic, which happened, which was taken probably 2004 or so, stated that 87% of people between the ages of 16 and 29 perceive the church as judgmental. I'd like to say we've probably done a better job of erasing that statistic, but I suspect we may have some work yet to do. So as we are now empowered by the Spirit to move as Christ moved, and then we are faced with a verse like verse 23, what does it look like? And as I sat asking God, what does this look like? Or should I just preach on Acts? That would make life easier. And he said, no, it's right here. And he reminded me, brought back to the forefront, probably one of the top five moments in my ministry. We had a food pantry at my previous ministry. And a young man arrived, and our clients, easy half of our clients, were also those who helped set up and distribute the food. It was very much a community event. Sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, try living in that. It was great, but it wasn't easy. And this young man had come to live with his aunt, and she had been a volunteer there, and so he had come with her to help volunteer. He was in his early 20s. And we discovered after a time, a short amount of time, that something was happening with our supplies. And what we discovered, unfortunately, was discovered this young man was, when no one looking, and by the direction of his aunt, was being collecting up bags of things and carrying them out the back door and putting them into his aunt's car. This didn't go over well with those who were coordinating this ministry or the others who were working in it. Some were confused and weren't sure what to do. Others were definite is what needed to happen. And they said, he can't come back on this property. He's a thief. Don't know if I mentioned, he moved from the other coast of Florida to live with his aunt after he was released from jail. The leadership came to me and said, we don't know what to do. I said, well, what do you want to do? I said, our heart's telling us that we have to hold on to him. But some of the other people here say, we need to call the police because he's a thief. I said, well, let's follow your heart. So the conversation was had with the young man. He was informed that this is not appropriate behavior. And he said, I'm sorry, I'll never come back. And we said, no, you're not hearing us. We want you to come back. We just don't want you to behave like this. And he came back. And he increased his involvement in what we were doing at the church. His aunt got very upset. She was informed that the behavior was inappropriate. She was a little more of a struggle. She was politely asked not to volunteer, but to continue to come. He continued as a volunteer, a loved and trusted volunteer. And he came to me one Sunday, and he says, I want to get baptized here. And I thought, well, I find that very interesting. He goes, why is that? And I said, you're a Southern man, a person of color. How did you get to be in your early 20s and not get a grandma to get you baptized? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, why do you want to get baptized here? In this church. And he said, I have never experienced the love of God the way I've experienced the love of God here. And I want to be baptized. Well, his class was over. I never had to give it to him. When he arrived the next Sunday to be baptized, he came dressed in his best. Matching do-rag, the whole thing. To our primarily older Caucasian crowd of people, he looked as though he had just come off the street corner, hanging with one of the gangs that were not unusual in the neighborhood nearby. And the congregation was so thrilled. And they knew him already. He had been engaged, volunteering, helping with their children, vacation Bible schools, the whole thing. I did have to let him know that in order to baptize him, I was going to need to remove that do-rag, which we did. And it's just a beautiful picture. I'm going to have to look for it this afternoon. Because shockingly, quite a bit taller than I am, and to see him leaning way over the baptismal font in order for me to baptize him. That one's going to stick with me. We had an option. We could have retained his sins, or we could have released him. And that time, brothers and sisters, the church released him. He was set free. It wasn't without struggle. We continued on. He continued with us, sometimes close, sometimes not. Sometimes he failed, but he always came back. He showed up to an event after taking in a particular substance, which smell was very familiar to me, and I had to let him know, not today, but come back sober tomorrow. Because it was with the children. And he came back and he repented. And we released him again from his sin. It's not easy. What makes it easy to do is to know that you have been released too. You have been set free by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as the church, Jesus himself has called us to walk as he walked, to do what he has done. So the Father has sent me, so I send you. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit to do the work. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins, they are retained. Brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity. It doesn't say anything about deciding what sin should be retained and which one should be released, does it? No, but we have the choice. We can live into our reputation, which I believe is unfounded, of being judgmental and unforgiving, or we can prove to the world that the world is wrong about God's church, and we can walk out that which he's called us to do by offering the same love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness that each one of us has taken claim of. And we can extend it to all people. This gift of grace we have received through Jesus Christ is intended by God for all people created by God. All of them. What an opportunity we have as his church to continue that work in this world. Not easy, though, is it? So we need to continue to ask ourselves first, have you been forgiven? Anybody? If you are here today as one who knows that you have been forgiven by God for those sins which you have carried, those things which you have done, and as we like to say, the things we have left undone. If you know that God has forgiven you, and you know that through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you have been reunited in relationship with God, and by that being baptized in his name, received his power to move forward, the gift he's given you is the opportunity to share his grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness with the world. It's a big job. But it can happen in very simple ways, just like I described. And I will tell you, that young man found normal work, worked very hard, continues to do so, to the best of my knowledge. I'll have to track him down to find out how he's doing, But I'll tell you this. The statistics would have had him back in jail in under a year. The church, by the law of man, had every single right to call the police and make him that statistic. Every right. But instead chose to be the church. So let's reach in and show him something different. Let's show him a love he's never felt before. And you know what? He's still a free man. Free from the bonds of jail in our society, and brothers and sisters, free of his sin because of the church. To that, we can all proclaim the goodness of God and give all the glory to him. Now, who'd want to miss that opportunity? We can forgive the sins, or we can retain them.